very good move. Joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, because we've got offensive line coach Frank Pollock. Mims, first selection in the draft, the 18th pick overall. Frank Pollock is the guy to develop this young stud. Frank Pollock talks about what Mims brings to the table, and it is significant. It's a lot. And then at the end of the draft, he had an offensive lineman in the first pick, and then seventh round, Lee at center. Likes him. I mean, he has a lot of good things to say about him and his level of football and how important the game is to him and how he finishes plays. On top of that, we talk about his relationship with his players, the relationship of the offensive line with the other offensive linemen, and with the offensive line and him with his offensive line. I mean, that is just a great room. And the exchange of ideas and dialogue is extraordinary. And he talks about that. Frank Pollock talks about a lot of things, about football and things you can apply to life. Frank Pollock is a good listen. We certainly do appreciate you joining us in the trenches once again, brought to you by First Star Logistics, and you're here with Dave Lappin and offensive line coach Frank Pollock. Coach, you do a hell of a job coaching the guys up front. Man, you got you got the Cincinnati skyline now with the addition, you know, the new Cincinnati skyline. You got the land of the Giants going on. I mean, it is unbelievable. You got Orlando Brown, you got Trey Brown, and now you got Mims at the tackle position. I mean, all these guys close to 6'8", all 350 pounds or more. It's unbelievable. It's prime beef, isn't it, Coach? It's not just beef, it's prime beef.
Yeah, it's insane. It's by far, it got to be maybe a record as far as the biggest group of tackles on a team in the league, at least in a while. I mean, this is massive guys.
I'm telling you, you look at the size of the guards as well. It's like, how many teams in the NFL can claim an offensive line that's physically bigger than what this one might be when you come to your final guys that that make the roster and practice squad? It's amazing.
Yeah, they're big. It'll be fun to see where we shake out at here once we get going. We're kind of obviously dipping our toes into it here in the offseason program, but when training camp rolls around, it'll be a lot more fun to see where it all shakes out in that regards. But yeah, the fellows are they're big. And what's surprisingly is how lean they are. I mean, I'd probably lose a lot of money betting that no way does Mims, you know, weigh 340, 350. I mean, it's just, he is so lean and
it is
and cut. It's ridiculous. So it's amazing. They got something down in the water down there in Georgia, apparently.
Man, I think I saw where he has like 17% body fat on a 340-pound guy. I mean, it's you can see abs on the dude. He looks like he weighs about 285, 290, maybe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. And coach, from fingertip to fingertip, you're talking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You're talking 7'2". I mean, holy mackerel! I mean, that when you're looking for measurables and traits and that sort of thing, where does arm length? Where does that rank?
It's really high at the top of the list, especially for tackles. Playing out there in space, it allows you the ability to recover. It allows a guy with maybe not as quick feet to be able to play more in space if he's using that length. Yep. So it's up there. Another one that's really impressive with Mims and Trent Brown as well is hand size. They're massive hands, massive hands.
You ain't kidding. I shook hands with them and that got a decent sized hand, and he's up my wrist and forearm. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, what, almost a ruler. I mean, he can almost palm a ruler. What, from the tip of his thumb to the tip of his index or middle finger is 11.5 inches or something crazy like that. And what 36 inch arm length, right? Something like that.
Yeah, Mims is a smidge over 36 and length, and then he's a smidge over 11 with his hands.
Man.
And Trent Brown's like 36 on the dot as far as length goes, and he's just a smidge under 11 inches with his hands. So it's...
And you know, wow, better than anybody, Coach, it's turned into hand-to-hand combat. I mean, yeah, now that you're going to extend with those big old levers, you know, and grab and lock up with those big, strong hands, I mean, it's who's going to get those hands inside first and be able to control the opponent? It's turned into hand-to-hand combat, hasn't it?
Yeah, hand-to-hand combat and then the ability to recover. I mean, it's you got to recover with your feet, and you got to be able to recover with your hands, and if you can do both, then you got something good going on there, so... This just increases their margin for error. It's you're always trying to widen the margin for error and give yourself an ability to recover because you're going to be in those positions. It's football. The guy gets paid two across the ball from you, so
yep,
you're going to get yourself into some hard looks and situations that you got to be able to recover from. And having these types of measurables, this allows you to do that. So and you could increase a lot of that margin for error as far as what you teach from a set angle perspective and a variety of hand strikes. But having that stuff, what mom and dad gave you, helps improve that other stuff too. So,
and speaking of that, is mom and dad great people? I mean,
boy, yeah, they're real nice.
They raised themselves a good one there. I mean, he's only what, 21 and a half years old, Coach? I mean, he's got braids on. I mean, he may grow to 6'9". Who knows? I mean, he may still have something left. I mean, but the thing is, I don't think I've ever met a more grounded, real, mature 21-year-old guy.
Yeah, he's real humble guy. He's sincere. I like you said, his parents did a great job raising him. I think, you know, he's got that small town feel, kind of down home. He's, you know, his feet are firmly planted in the ground. There's that old saying, you know, be where your feet are. He's kind of that way from an emotional standpoint. And he's very grounded, very sincere, very grounded young man. And that's going to be a lot of fun to coach and have in our room.
Oh, man, there's no question about that. You know, you look at it, he hasn't like 8 starts. But the number that impressed me, jumped out at me, 402 pass attempts, pass sets, 6 pressures. And he played in playoff games, national championship. I mean, he played, Georgia plays big-time football. Yeah. And I'm sure the practice tape that you got to take a look at, they had like 5 first-round defensive linemen while he was there that he was practicing against. I mean, obviously you liked what you saw and all that, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it comes from a great college program. They get after it pretty good down there. So he's been coached hard. And the SEC, I think everyone's in agreement that that's probably the best college conference going as far as amount of NFL talent that comes out of there every year.
Yep.
And he's had, like you mentioned, a lot on his own college roster. So it's not like he's not seen NFL talent before and had to compete against it. So it's all going to work in his favor and really high expectations for him to come in here and hit the ground running and start learning our system and starting to, as you say, sharpen that sword a little bit and fine tune some of the things that he needs to continue to grow on. Get better at.
He's excited about doing that with you. I talked to him a little bit about, you know, the opportunity to work with Frank Pollock. I'm like, dude, you understand now, you got one of the greats. You know, you got a guy that's going to make you, your floor is your tape, and you know, you got a floor, but your ceiling, I think this kid might have the highest ceiling of any player in the draft. Forget just offensive line. I mean, his ceiling is incredibly high. It's almost immeasurable. And yourself, obviously, he's in a great situation there. And I know you don't like to talk about yourself. So how about having the two guys that he's got, the two Browns, you know, as mentors, very similar measurables, body type, won Super Bowls, been to Pro Bowls. Hey, here's how you can utilize your leverage to the maximum. Avoid this, do this. How big is having Frank Pollock, who, what, you're 6'6", Coach, and you got two players that are 6'8". You guys can teach him all kinds of stuff that he probably hadn't heard about yet.
Yeah, this is really good setup for him to come in here. I mean, Trent Brown's going on his 10th year. Orlando's, I want to say, on his 7th year, I think, coming up. So great experience at the position. And as far as what we're going to teach him here in the classroom and drill, he'll be able to lean on those guys as far as their insight and what they've done in their careers and little nuances that they've kind of taken and done, as well as, you know, guys like Karras and Kappa, just also learning two more guys to help him learn what it means to be a pro, have a routine, how to study. So it's not only the specifics of the position with both Browns, but also guys like Karras and Kappa hitting them up on what it also takes to be a pro, as far as, you know, how you go about your business every day on a weekly basis, whether that's this time of year and OTAs, when you're going into training camp, how to prepare that last month when you're off on your own, and then how to handle the weekly grind of the season. So I don't care where you come from college-wise, the NFL season's a lot longer than the college season. And so that's always a little bit of a wake up as well. I mean, Georgia had played all the way to the end a few times, but it's just that season's length as well. So that's, he's got a lot of guys he can lean on that he should be leaning on. And he's been advised he should be in their back pocket. He's got four good guys we just talked about right there to mimic everything they're doing. And then with me harping on him all the time as well. So hopefully he'll be taking that to heart and getting the best out of him.
Coach, he's got a 3.6 GPA. Smart dude, man. Very intelligent. Has he got football intelligence as well? Do you sense a pretty good?
Yeah. He was here for his press conference the other day, and I got to meet and do a little ball with him in the room for about an hour and a half. And we started going over some stuff. We call it our O-line manual, just how we ID and get some of the terminology. And he was able to translate that stuff back to me and what they called it in Georgia and talk about some his coach gave him. So he's solid. He's solid in that area. So I'm sure about halfway through training camp, the cup will start to runneth over.
Right.
I can pour too much into it, and we'll have to kind of take a pause and let him kind of, you know, take it all in a little bit. But he's at a good spot right now.
Now he's going to work at both right and left. I mean, I know he practiced at left, but I think all of his snaps, did they come at right tackle?
Yeah. He played it right. I'm going to want to have him see what he looks like over there on the left side a little bit. And he'll probably take majority of his snaps on the right, especially early as he's trying to just kind of, you know, learn the playbook, learn some of the techniques that we're teaching here, since he's already comfortable on the right. And then we'll see how he looks on the left. It's we don't want to put him too much behind the learning curve by flipping him too early, but that's something everyone's got to be able to do. And we'll kind of see where we're at once we get, you know, here in August and go from there.
I thought it was a class move, and not surprising that it was a class move because it's Orlando Brown, but I thought for him to come down and meet the young stud and his parents, and I thought that that showed a lot. And I know the family, I know the Mims family was duly impressed, man. They were like, they really couldn't believe it. But you know, that's what you get going in the old line room, coach. You got a bunch of hell of good guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's the culture that Zach and Duke have built with the roster and what Zach preaches every day. And we're just an extension of that here in the old line room. We got great quality pros. Can't say that enough. The best comment I can give guys is, being a pro's pro. We got a lot of those guys. So they know it takes a team to win in this game, and they understand that we're going to need everybody. And Orlando is definitely a guy who's a quality guy and understands that and leads by example in that regard, and was able to come down and welcome him. And so it's it's fantastic. So,
yesterday, you know, in the locker room, and Ted Karras, I'm standing across from him, he picks up his cell phone and he dials up the young stud, Matt Lee, the 7th round draft pick at the center position, out of Miami, 51 college starts. I thought that was a class act. Ted to reach out to him, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to say hello. And you got any questions? You need anything? You know, hit me up." And to me, I can only imagine what Matt Lee's thinking on the other end of the phone. I know if I were a rookie and a veteran player were doing that, I'd be like, "Man, I'm in the right place. There's no doubt about that." Tell us a little bit about Matt Lee. You bookended the draft, coach. You got one first, and you got the last one.
Yeah, he transferred from Central Florida to Miami. Played a little bit of guard early in his career, but mainly center. Incredibly smart, very intelligent player. He's got a nasty streak to him. He shows some good play strength. I know he's a big weightlifter. I know he competed in weightlifting in high school, so he's been in the weight room for a long time. Really enjoyed my time meeting with him. I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and bring a lot of value, hopefully early, but, definitely excited about him as well. He plays with an edge. He's played against some top quality talent as well. So I'm excited about him.
Yeah. I mean, this kid, like I say, 51 starts, that's pretty productive, to say the least. I mean, he's not the biggest body in the world at this point, but he's got a good anchor for his body size. He's got a really good anchor. And like you said, man, I'm like, boy, this dude, he's a nasty finisher now. He'll finish you, doesn't he? Jeez.
Yeah, he plays hard. He's got an edge to him. He was a captain at Miami. He was only there for 1 year, so he made an immediate impact when he transferred there to Miami as well. So he's what you're looking for to come out of the O-line room, and he's going to fit right in. And he's another guy that wherever Ted goes, he needs to be his shadow and be right behind him. And so, and he's that kind of a guy. He's excited to get here. I called him, and the very first words out of his mouth is, "I'm not going to let you down, coach." And I was like, all right. I mean, he's got the right mindset already that he wants to fit in and you know, be the guy that be in the foxhole with the rest of his line mates. So that's what you're looking for.
You know, it's interesting. I said, you know, Ted, wow, that's a class move to call up a guy that, you know, wants to ultimately take your job. He goes, "Hey, man, that's what the guy did when I got drafted. That's what the guy did for me, and I never forgot it. And that's what it's all about." And I'm like, these guys, man, that's your offensive line's like this, coach. I mean, these guys are tight knit now. I mean, if you're messing with one of us, you're messing with all of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why Ted's got a C on his jersey too, right? I mean, that's why he was voted captain. I mean, he's got the respect of all of his teammates as well as obviously the coaching staff, and he's at the top of that pro list, and so he obviously he's a quality human being with all the stuff he does for his charity and everything as well. So it's just not surprised that he's reaching out to Matt Lee as well to welcome him and be there for him.
You know, you mentioned C on the chest, Matt Lee. I mean, I think there's at least four, might be five. One of them was a two-time captain, the big nose tackle from A&M was a two-time captain, I believe. It's like it seems like big productive programs that have been successful, winning big programs, and they're the cream of that program being captains to boot. That's how you've built a pretty damn good roster, I guess.
Yeah, it goes back to culture, team culture. So it's what Zach and Duke have been building and promoting, and that's how you win in this business. You got to have talent. You got to put that talent in position to have success, but it's never easy. The season is always going to have ups and downs, and it always comes back to what's the culture in your locker room that's going to get you through those ebbs and flows and those down times, those struggles, because it's It's a meat grinder, the league, as you know. So that's what's going to make the difference. That's what allows teams to compete at a high level year in and year out. And we're right up there as far as that's concerned. We got the right culture, so it's been fantastic.
And your players in the O-line can't say enough about you as the orchestrator of the O-line culture. And they're like, Lap, you know how it is, man. You played. Coach just has an unbelievable feel when, all right, it's been a lot of days, same type of stuff. You know, I'm gonna change this up. I'm gonna change that. They say he just has an unbelievable feel for keeping things fresh. You know, for understanding. He can read our minds. He's understanding exactly what we're going through, what we're feeling, and everything. I mean, that's a hell of a deal, Coach. You do a great job connecting with your players, and they trust you so much. And that's what it's all about. It's about relationships and trust, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, the coach's relationship with your players is part of that culture. You got to trust your players. You got to give them the tools to make adjustments. You got to trust them enough to also ask what do they think? What's their thoughts on this little nuance? Whether it be a certain combo that we want to maybe tweak this week, if they feel that something a little bit different, you got to be open to hearing feedback from them. We got some veteran guys in the room that played a lot of football, and they feel better about doing something else, then I'm open to doing that with them. So I think that adds to just the trust and the relationship and having that respect for each other. This league is all about the players. So the players make it go. My job is kind of to keep us on the right map as far as to get to our destination. If we veer off, to put us back on the road, but they're the ones that's making everything go. And you got to keep allowing those guys to do that. So, fortunate enough to have some good quality veterans in the room and mixed in with some young guys. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's just like, you know, I like to relate a little bit back from my playing days of being in their seat, hanging on by a thread as a player. But
yeah, right, Coach.
I can reference that and kind of know what it's like. I know when it's dog days. And that's the fun part of coaching, too, is trying to keep things challenging. Coaching, as they say, the lowest denominator in a room, the youngest guy, the guy is maybe more green than this 10-year, 8-year vet, at the same time keeping it interesting for that 8, 9, 10-year vet as well. So in challenging him, so I like changing things up from a drill perspective, or maybe changing things up in the room, maybe even have one of those older veterans install something in the room as well. So that's,
there you go.
Keep those guys engaged and players like hearing from the other players as well in that regard. So it's,
I mean, to me, when you've got a coach that when players come off the field, they know they can talk to you and you're listening and it's a two-way dialogue. You know, I mean, that's huge. And I know, I remember after the Kansas City playoff game when the Bengals beat the Chiefs, I know, I remember Lou Anarumo found something like the night before the game, like late, like a last minute tweak. And he, at the morning meeting, tells the safeties, look, this is what I've seen. We're going to do this. And he had Mahomes pump faking the whole day when the players went out and executed it, because Lou trusted they could make that adjustment. They knew that Lou knew they could make the adjustment. And that's how your players are with you. It's like you guys, you know and believe in each other so much that you can fine tune and tweak, you know, right up to the last minute, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to, you know, the quality of player from a mental standpoint, from a football IQ standpoint, and then just having that trust with each other. So that makes coaching fun, and this makes, you know, and really enjoying coaching these guys. So it's, and that's just all part of the league. You have to. It's always a game of adjustments, and really at the end of the day, you can sum up coaching. You're a teacher and you're solving problems. That's really what you do.
Well, Coach, I've enjoyed talking with you. I always do. I love talking O-line with Frank Pollock. And as a result of that, I lied. I kept you longer than I said I was going to. But you're so damn good. And I do appreciate you. And can't thank you enough for carving time. I know it's right after the draft is a busy time. And thanks for spending some of it with us, sir.
You got it. Congrats on the new studio. Enjoy it.
How about it? New studio, new building, coach, new digs. That dog will hunt all day, every day, won't it?
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, sir.
You got it.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.